Welcome to Drink Beer, Think Beer, the podcast that gets to the bottom of every pint. I'm John Hall. Las Vegas will be the focal point for many brewers in the coming week as the Brewers Association hosts their annual Craft Brewers Conference, World Beer Cup, and Brewers Expo. For those traveling to Sin City, either as a brewing professional or as a curious drinker, this episode will offer up all of the tips to make the most out of your drinking time on and off the strip. But first, please go visit allaboutbeer.com. There, you can find original articles, reviews, news, insights, and podcasts. You can listen to shows like Brewer to Brewer and the All About Beer podcast simply by searching All About Beer wherever you listen to shows. And you can also follow All About Beer on Instagram, Threads, X, and Facebook at All About Beer. And to keep up with all the smoked beer news and releases, check out This Week in Rauch Beer. You can search the group on Facebook or follow at TW Rauch Beer on X, Threads, and Instagram. Glassware and some apparel is available too on allaboutbeer.com/merch. This show and all of the work we do, it's supported by you. Please visit patreon.com/allaboutbeer. A few bucks goes a long way to help fund writers, photographers, creators, and editors. And if you'd like to learn more about advertising on this show or any of our shows, please email info@allaboutbeer.com. And speaking of that, if you're headed to CBC or you're a brewer who wants to do more with ingredients, just give a listen to these messages from companies that support our mission of journalism and bringing you quality products. Visit the Wonkas of Tea Beer at booth 2390. First Tea has teas and botanicals to create new colors, flavors, and textures to craft beer and hard teas. First Tea even has beer and cocktail recipes with popping boba. Step into pure imagination at booth 2390 at the Vegas CBC or email them at info@firsttea.com. That's FIRSDTEA.com. And Malt Europe Malting Company is North American proud, with premium grains from field to flavor. Their selections include base, specialty, and distiller malt varieties. Stop by their booth, number 2143, at the Craft Brewers Conference in Vegas. So Vegas can get a bad rap for beer. With the sheer size of the casinos and the arenas, it's hard for smaller producers to compete against the big players. But step into a good restaurant off the strip or outside of town, and you'll find a selection of great beer, innovative breweries, and fans building a community one pint at a time. To help get the lay of the land, I'm glad to welcome three guests to the show this week. Wendy Forrest is the co-founder and co-owner of Craft House Brewery, established in 2014. She has also served as the president of the Nevada Craft Brewers Association since 2020, where she lobbied to improve the laws that govern the craft beer industry in the state. She was instrumental in changing the landscape of craft beer in Southern Nevada by modernizing licensing on the city level. She's a proud UNLV hospitality alumni who holds the distinction of brewing the official beer of UNLV, with proceeds going back to the UNLV Foundation. She was awarded the Craft Beer Marketer of the Year, Best Family-Owned Business, Best Face of the Beer Industry, and multiple Best of Las Vegas awards. She is passionate about building community around quality-driven beer and loves to share that with others. David Pasquale started his brewing career locally while going to school at UNLV in 2004 as an unpaid credited brewery intern at Barley's Casino and Brewing Company. Once he graduated, he decided to take a break from postgraduate school and took the assistant brewer job at Chicago Brewing Company in Las Vegas. After 3 years, he took over as head brewer and stayed there for a decade. In 2015, he decided to leave and run another local brewery, Big Dogs Brewing Company, where he's been ever since. And Dan Pixley is born and raised in Las Vegas, and he's been a part of the local craft beer scene and homebrew scene since 2010. He's a certified BJCP judge and a credited contributor to the 2021 BJCP guidelines. He's been a member of the Milk the Funk Facebook group since 2014 and has written and maintained around 80% of the Milk the Funk Wiki, which is a free access wiki that summarizes and documents scientifically and experimentally based knowledge about sour beer brewing and fermentation with alternative microbes. They all join me via Zoom. Here's our conversation. Welcome to all three of you. Thanks for being on the show as we ramp up to the Craft Brewers Conference in Vegas. And we'll be talking a little bit about the conference, but I feel like this is a good opportunity to talk about Las Vegas as a beer town. As I've heard from a lot of folks, and quite a few folks up to the CBC this year, there's been a lot of talk about, well, you know, Vegas is great for macro beer. There's not really a craft beer scene. You know, not too many chances to drink local beer. It's all, you know, industrial, blah, 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 blah. And in digging into all of your stories and having conversations with folks, I'm really finding that there's, if you know where to look, there's a pretty good beer scene happening. And Winnie, I know you've been at the forefront, especially with the local guild there. So I wonder from your perspective, what makes Vegas a good beer town?
Well, first and foremost, I think, you know, that the opinion that there's no good craft beer in Las Vegas is tired, it's antiquated, it's old. Sure, if you stay only on the strip and you're only in large properties and you only go to, you know, maybe casino operated bars and lounges, then maybe you won't see a lot of local Nevada made independent craft beer. But take two steps out of the sports book and go to, you know, a 5-star restaurant. Chances are that chef, that executive chef in that restaurant has sought out Nevada made beer because they're mindful of what they're presenting to their guests. And really it's a lot of the tourism that we see up and down the strip that is driving the request for something that, those tourists can't get at home. They want a taste of Las Vegas. And that's really helping drive it. But I think that, you know, the antiquated opinion that there's no good craft beer in Las Vegas hurts when it's coming from within our own industry, because that's not what our industry is built upon. Our industry is built upon, and it's the reason that I got into this industry, is built upon camaraderie. So to be cut down or dismissed by your fellow industry professionals, it's disappointing. And I don't think that that's what our industry is about. But those negative opinions sing a little bit louder than the positive opinions.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, David, with everything Wendy said. You know, I've been part of this industry now for 20 years, all of it being in Vegas. I've seen the growth. I've also seen reasons why there isn't as much growth as well. But yeah, you know, it's pretty, you know, I look at it when I traveled. I was in Europe last year and in Italy. And, you know, when people come into a town or wherever you're going, I think it's just common that everyone wants to try something local, something, hey, what is being made here? All right, I'm here in the town, in this town in Italy. Oh, they make bolognese here. This is where it originated from. Vegas, there's a lot of, you know, and I'm not here to point fingers or like say, hey, why we're not, you know, ahead of the curve, or at least on the front end of the curve. But, you know, it's the whole commercialism of everything here with the casinos and things like that. It took us a while to get the forefront, or at least, you know, able to be poured at certain bars at some of these casinos. So, you know, having the Craft Brewers Conference come and having people come and see what's going on in Vegas, I could clearly say, and Wendy could attest to this too, the past 10 years has been pretty huge for us. We haven't grown as quickly as, like I said, other markets, but you can definitely see there's been a big change, and a lot of it's been driven by people coming to this town, requesting it. People who are, like Wendy said as well, like chefs, you know, other people who are, you know, crafty and whatnot, but they're wanting to see local craft beer and what's being made locally here in town put on the forefront. And it's been a process, but it's coming, and I'm hoping it keeps coming. But yeah, we definitely need the support of other people in the industry to kind of, you know, get us to that point, because there are other places that also have dealt with this. You know, I still remember when Arizona was pretty barren too, as well, with the craft beer industry. Tennessee was kind of like that too. And, You know, the Craft Brewers Conference was held there twice. So, you know, I think bringing more attention to what we do and having fellow industry people back us up, I think that's going to help change that mindset. So, yeah, that's just...
Yeah, Dan, I'll jump to you in just a second, but it's so interesting. And Wendy, I'll go back to you as well. But mm-hmm. it's so interesting to hear you sort of talk about people coming in and talking about it and requesting it. And I was having these flashbacks to Manhattan 20 years ago, where people would walk into bars and be like, "What do you mean you don't have Brooklyn? What do you mean you don't have Six Point or, you know, whatever?" And it was that consumer drumbeat of a small mm-hmm. but vocal minority of drinker that helped change that tide. So it was sort of a throwback of what yeah. I remember living through as a young beer drinker. But Wendy, you were going to jump in with a point, I think.
Oh yeah. So I was just going to point out that, you know, Las Vegas, we are a tourist destination, and really what sets Las Vegas apart is we are built upon hospitality. And I think that that's really what is going to allow our breweries to shine, is we hold ourselves to a higher level of hospitality because we have high expectations of ourselves and because we're also held to the same level as the Strip. So I think that's really where we're going to shine, all of our local breweries, is the hospitality that you're going to receive when you go in and visit our breweries.
So that's awesome. In thinking about Manhattan 20 years ago, and sort of because now I'm sort of in my head with that a little bit. But part of the growth and part of that drumbeat was the homebrewing community being as strong as it was and being out there trying to get bars, trying to get places to open, trying to get bars to carry beer, trying to get new breweries to open. Dan, from your perspective in the homebrewing world, and then also as a drinker of fine ales and lagers, what's it like from your perspective?
Well, you know, I'm not in the industry, but I share Wendy and Dave's frustration with our reputation. But as being somebody that's born and raised in this town, I've seen it come such a long way in the past 10, 15 years. I'm really proud of the steps that we've made with people like Wendy and Dave and all the other small business owners in this town have really created an awesome scene, in my opinion. Our local homebrew club, Snafu, is very active. We have a female president, Kim Perez, and she's done an awesome job with our club. We have so many events, so many brew days. We're doing a mead judging training. We also have a really good Pink Boots chapter. It's headed up by Dr. Sylvie, who works for Lalamon. She's also the president of the American Society of Brewing Chemists. And her predecessors, Rose Signer and Ashley Randolph, have done an awesome job with the Pink Boots chapter here. They do a lot of seminars, a lot of brew days. So I think if you get underneath the hood in this town, there's an awesome craft beer community here.
So I like that, the underneath the hood thing. And then you've all sort of touched on this as well. And Wendy, I could hear the frustration and the anger coming out early on, which, you know, I don't know if that's good if you're playing poker or not, but
I don't gamble.
But you all sort of either mentioned, you know, the getting underneath the hood or getting off the Strip, right? And for me as a tourist who's been in your city a couple of times, I got off the Strip now and again. I had a good time, but it can be hard. There's that magnetic pull to, you know, Las Vegas Boulevard and all of the glitz and glam and everything else, the action that's happening. When you get off the Strip, I mean, what do you experience? What can people experience? And is that a more authentic Vegas? I don't know if authenticity is the right word, but is it a better perspective? Obviously, it's a different perspective. But when you get to where the beer is that you're talking about, when you get to some of those cool bars, when you get to those places that are furthering cool beer and good beer. What's that like being outside of that magnetic pull of the Strip?
I think if you look at, you know, say Arts District, which is also known as Brewery Row. So that was an effort by City of Las Vegas to establish a footprint within the Arts District to incentivize breweries to come and build and invest in a up and coming and revitalize in, you know, an area of downtown Las Vegas. If you look at that location, I think it walks hand in hand with the ethos of the craft beer industry. So, right, the thing that sets craft beer apart from macro beer are the people and the stories and the passion behind it. It's hard to hand sell beer. It's hard to engage one-on-one when you have 45 million tourists coming to one street in the span of a year. But where, you know, an area like the Arts District shines is those executive chefs who've been burned out from the Strip, and they want something, and you hit the nail on the head, they want something authentic, or they want something unique and distinct, and that has more meaning. They'll seek out those locations. So whether it's Arts District, or it's downtown Summerlin, or it's Henderson Booze District, or Water Street in Henderson, you'll find those authentic and independently owned locations that aren't tied by sponsorship contracts that are dictated up and down the Strip. They can make their own decisions of what beers they want to place and how they want their representation told for them by simply somebody reading their beer list. You know, are they a big beer place? Are they being, you know, sponsored and taken over by big beer? Or do they have the flexibility to actually make decisions based upon supporting local and supporting quality? So that's what's cool about, you know, if you go to the Arts District, it's, you know, it's at the top of the Strip. It's a really 2-minute jump from the Strat to the next independently owned brewery, which is Abel Baker. And you can walk up and down Main Street and hit six breweries and, you know, really get a taste of going in and visiting those restaurants there. Those are all independently owned, and it's kind of like a reprieve from the Strip. So when you've hit your sensory overload, you can kind of decompress and, you know, walk in and out of these locations and really see authentic Las Vegas represented.
David, for you all, and then, you know, Dan, I'll go to you afterwards, but like for you all being a little further away from that action, as best I can tell from the map, how important is being a brewery to the local community for you, as you know, in addition to hopefully getting some of the tourists in, hopefully getting folks in, but is there that local sense of camaraderie inside the brewery that, you know, also exists pretty much everywhere else?
Well, yeah, we're about 20 minutes away from where the conferences are going to be held, but yeah, our brewery was predicated on, you know, supporting or being supported by local patrons. You know, the brewery is our Big Dogs Brewing Company has been around for 30 years this past year, and the pub that we're connected to has been there for 35 years. So it shows you, you know, we've been supported definitely by the local community for a very long time, which we're very appreciative of. During COVID, that was how we were able to get through a lot of that, you know, having people come by and providing to-go beers and food as well from the pub. But the community, beer-wise, it's been very strong. You know, we see it on our side just because through the years we could see the community around us, how it's grown. So we have an older community close to the brewery. Again, we've been part of Vegas for 30 years. And mind you, we were the original brewery on the Strip, and we moved operations up in early 2000s to this current location. But
yep.
We have an older neighborhood right around there. We have an industrial area that's close to us, and we also have a burgeoning, brand new area called Centennial that's been blowing up next to us too as well. So, yeah, we just have continued support from everyone. It's crazy the demographics that come in. I mean, we have people that say that have been coming to our brewery now. It's third generation they're bringing there. In Vegas terms, that's a long time. So, but yeah, no, it's the community is huge for us. We do many things at our brewery, and all of us as breweries in Vegas, we do as much as we can to involve the community, whether it's supporting local charities, hosting events, and tying in also charities to that. But yeah, it's something we try to give back as much as we can, as much as they give to us. So, yeah.
And also, Big Dogs has always been supportive of the new breweries that have opened after them. Big Dogs Beer Festival was the very first beer festival that Craft House ever poured at.
That's right.
So they've always been supportive of the up-and-coming breweries as well.
You keep coming back to that camaraderie, that connection, and it's cool to hear because you mentioned some of like the larger contracts and big beer in certain places and all of that. So it does strike me that you all are connected with that tissue of being small brewers and following that same mission, and that's got to be inspiring in a lot of ways. And then also, I guess, go and speak to Dan, you and your fellow beer drinkers as well, of being able to find these spots that speak to your sensibilities as a beer drinker. Is that fair?
Yeah, for sure. And I think Vegas also has some really good beer bars to offer as well. We've got Corey's Fine Wine and Spirits out in Henderson. If it wasn't for Corey's and Big Dogs, those are the places that got me into craft beer. And the Milk Punk Wiki wouldn't exist if it wasn't for them. We also have 595 Craft Kitchen, which is 15 minutes west on Tropicana. They're one of the only accounts that got Russian River recently. Russian River just recently came to
Yeah,
Las Vegas.
I
Thank
saw
you. Thank you, Natalie.
that.
And 595's got a great beer program and really good food. There's the Silver Stamp and Cerveza and the Arts District. We have a really good craft beer bar scene as well.
Yeah, Aces and Ales too. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of things have been popping up in support of craft beer here locally.
Yeah, and Wendy and David, that these places are supporting you all, and you're supporting them as well. There, it's that ecosystem.
For sure. Yeah, it's definitely, you can't ask people to keep supporting local if we don't do that as well. So whenever we have an opportunity, whether it's sourcing locally roasted coffee beans for one of our beers or supporting those independent businesses and coming in with tap takeovers or, hosting a night and taking our staff out. It's definitely a two-way street. We can't keep asking if we don't also give.
So, Winnie, I know you've been on the forefront of getting some legislation changed, getting some rules changed, making it easier for breweries to operate and better access to market. I wonder if you could sort of just briefly go through what those challenges were, what those battles were, and then what's on the horizon, what still needs to be done.
So when Dave and I were, coming up with the idea for Craft House, we liked a location in Henderson because there was already just a distillery and a winemaking school in the business park that we were looking at. So we went to the city of Henderson and said, "This is the business model, brewery manufacturing in the back, and tasting room up front in an industrial complex." And they said, "Well, you could get a brew pub license, And it's $60,000, and it comes with a gaming license because there was only one brew pub open in Henderson, and it was written for a gaming casino. Or you could get a brewer's license and you can't have a tasting room. So I said, well, that defeats the purpose of us building a community, which is why we opened Craft House, was to build a community around quality German beer. So the community has nowhere to commune to. That license doesn't really apply to us. But I said, well, we don't want gaming. And the city said, oh, well, you don't have to have it, but you just have to pay for it. And you have to go through a gaming license background check, which can take 5 years. So I said, no, I don't. So then I became a registered lobbyist for the city of Henderson, wrote new licensing, and created a subcategory, so brewpub non-gaming, and then reduced it to $10,000. So I lobbied city council for 16 months straight, but also within that time span, made really great connections within the city. And now they're one of our biggest cheerleaders within the city of Henderson. So after that license was changed, and it was also our plan to build a community, also to build a community of professional brewers. So you can't have a community with just one. We knew that we needed more breweries to help elevate and expand the craft beer industry, especially within Henderson, and not to discount what, you know, Big Dogs had done, you know, 25 years before we opened, and what Tenaya Creek had done, you know, a good 15, 20 years before we opened. But those were also just in Las Vegas, and we were looking in Henderson. So then I had to rezone our business park to allow us to have a tasting room. And then since we changed the zoning and the licensing for the city of Henderson, another, I think, 4 or 5 breweries had opened since we amended that licensing, and then the zoning helped us designate an area called the Booze District. So then the distillery could have a tasting room, the winery could have a tasting room, 2 other breweries opened within our footprint area, and then a mead maker just opened up a year ago as well. And then the city of Las Vegas, they followed suit. They revamped their licensing for the brew pub model. And then almost about 5 years ago, we revitalized the Nevada Craft Brewers Association and really started to build a foundation, fill out the board members, create subcategories within that, and really start dissecting the antiquated laws that dictate our industry that have been written by wholesalers. So, you know, Nevada's a 3-tier system of distribution. So if we want our beer to get to market, it has to go through the wholesaler to make it to the retailer. With that, so the wholesalers have done their homework. They've put in the time, they've put in the effort, and they've created laws to benefit their industry. So it was time for us to stop complaining that the laws that govern our industry are dated and are not modernized with how far the industry has come nationally. So we've retained a lobbyist. Our state only meets once every 2 years for legislation. So if your bill does not make it to the floor, you have to wait 2 more years for it to come back around again to get your bill, hopefully to be voted out of committee and make it to the floor for a vote. We tried last session, we tried to update franchise law and a little bit of self-distribution, but self-distribution is the S word in the state of Nevada. And no distributors want to give anything, which, you know, they're protecting their business and they're protecting their industry. But it just because we weren't successful last session doesn't mean we're going to sit quietly. If we don't keep trying, then nothing will ever improve. So we have to keep trying.
I like that. I like that. That's it's still amazing that in 2024 there's still all of these roadblocks and restrictions that small businesses are facing, especially in the in the beer space.
Well, I mean, look at our
Yeah.
state. What was our state founded on? It was founded on the mobsters. I mean, it's no secret that the mob built Las Vegas, right? So we still have a mobster mentality run state. It's just now legal to be a mobster.
I'm from New Jersey. I'm not going to talk about the mafia. So, all right. So there's real work that's being done amid all of the fun that's happening all around you guys all the time. So I want to get people excited about Vegas, and I want to I'm going to come back to beer in a minute, but there are endless crazy fun, unique, entertaining, insert whatever word you want, for quintessential Vegas experiences, be it shotgun weddings, be it mini golf on the top of a skyscraper or whatever. For somebody like me who has not been in Vegas for 15 years now, maybe, who is excited about embracing the silliness of it all, where should I go? What should I do? Outside of the beer realm, Dan Pixley.
Oh man, you're asking the wrong person because
Dan doesn't
Dan
like
doesn't like to
fun.
have fun.
My definition of fun in this town doesn't include the strip. I don't go to the strip.
Well, tell me where else to go then. Tell me like where should I go off the strip? What's
I would say that there's two pockets that are worth exploring, and that's the Arts District, which we brought up a bunch, but also the Fremont area. That can be really fun. There's the main Fremont area, and then there's like an East Fremont area that's got some cool small businesses and some bars and stuff like that that's worth checking out.
Okay.
So when friends come to town, those are the two areas that I take them to. I tell them I'll come pick you up from the strip, but that's about it. I'm not gonna go hang out down there. So I take people down to the Arts District or to Fremont.
All right, so David, I've had a couple of drinks in me now. I'm ready to experience Vegas. I'm ready to do something that I can't do anywhere else in the world. Where do you tell me to go?
Well, I mean, kind of like Dan, I don't really go to the strip, but I got a lot
Guys,
of
work
family.
with me here. Come on.
I what I was going to get at is that one thing about our town that is pretty awesome is if you could find any show, the shows that come to this town are fantastic. I know I've been having people hit up like, "Hey, could you get tickets to the Sphere for Phish?" And I'm like, "I think those are sold out a long ago." I can't help you on that, but yeah, food is another thing. Vegas is pretty well known for. The culinary scene is absolutely killer. I'd recommend a few restaurants. You have, oh my gosh, Lotus of Siam is one of them.
Oh, yeah.
If you come into town, it's probably the best northern Thai food you'll ever have outside of Thailand. And I think they actually had the recognition and an award for that. I keep saying that, but like the food in this town is absolutely crazy. So, if you're coming here, come here to eat. Just make sure you know that you have to bring a lot of money to do that as well. So don't gamble all your money away while you're in town. But yeah, some of these local restaurants too, like what Wendy was bringing up earlier, they do support local craft beer. So we all have our own places. Like for us, we have kind of in the Fremont area. La Thai is a good spot, another Thai restaurant as well. But yeah, there's a lot of places around town that you can hit up and find some one of a kind restaurants and pair it with some of one of a kind beer.
Yeah, Chinatown is wild too. That's
Oh,
a
yeah.
good spot.
Yep.
All
Chinatown's
right.
fantastic.
Wendy, don't let me down and say that you also don't do anything fun.
I do things fun, but I, yeah, like Dave and Dan, I don't usually go to the strip. but definitely Chinatown. Like that Chinatown, you can eat like a king for not a lot of money. There's so many great places in Chinatown that you can hit up, and you can roll all night through Chinatown and not have to drop, you know, $195 on an 8 ounce steak. If that's your thing, then stay on the strip and drop $195 for your steak. But I think, you know, since you've been here, John, I think the coolest change with Las Vegas is we're now not just that, you know, a world entertainment destination, we're now a sports town. So there's huge pride for our Vegas Golden Knights. A lot of breweries, you know, will have beers themed around different local hometown teams. You know, we obviously now have the Raiders, and we'll soon have Major League Baseball here. And then after that, NBA is coming here. So it's not just, you know, you go to the sports book anymore. You can now go see your favorite team play in person. So I think, you know, Las Vegas has come a long way with that, and it's really part of our destination, or, you know, our, it's part of our fabric of what makes us Vegas proud, is that now we can claim that we have our own sports teams here. And I think the Golden Knights really capitalized on that, but did it in an authentic way. And it's great that, you know, they are a Vegas born team. They're not a transplant team. No offense to the transplants, but they, you know, they are a Vegas born team. So there's a huge pride and sense of pride, you know, with all of us here that we get to claim these teams as ours now.
And them and the Aces, the women's basketball team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're three-time season champs.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, so, another big thing ahead, too, David. I was just going to get, you know, Vegas is always focused on the strip, but even the outdoor areas here around Las Vegas, I go hiking a lot. So,
okay.
Go camping, you know, those type of things. So, but yeah, Red Rock is a beautiful place. I mean, we have Lake Mead. It still has water last time I checked, but that's another beautiful place to go check out. But yeah, I think people forget about that, you know. I even forget about it. People come into town that I friends with, family, and they always say how beautiful the mountains are around Las Vegas. And it's like, you know, I always forget about that. I actually live right next to a mountain and I forget about it sometimes. So, but no, yeah, there's a lot of beautiful outdoor space to be experienced here, whether you're a big avid hiker or mountain biker, a lot of trails. I live in the southwest side of town, so really close to the Red Rock Loop. And also Blue Diamond and all that area has a bunch of, mountain biking trails and things like that. So
nice.
Also some snowboarding and skiing also up at Mount Charleston.
Yep. Again, surprising stuff people don't tend to focus on when they come to Vegas. So
I know. I was just jazzed about the Back to the Future slot machines. But all right, so... Again, I'll come back to beer in just a second, but there's folks who are coming into town maybe for the first time. It can be a bit overwhelming. All three of you have said you don't spend much time on the strip. You like to avoid it. I imagine that folks who come into town, be it for beer or not, are going to spend a good amount of time on the strip anyway. What is, from each of you, a rookie mistake to avoid?
Oh my gosh, I have to go first.
Okay.
Thinking that you can walk the strip. Do you know how far apart those casinos are? And do you know how many steps you have to take once you get into a property?
Yeah.
No, don't walk. Please don't walk the strip. Just please don't. Just take an Uber, take a Lyft. You're going to need to walk through the giant properties anyway. Don't walk the strip. And especially don't walk the strip in summer. I know they're coming in April, but definitely don't walk the strip in the summer.
That sounds like good advice. Yeah.
I would say gambling.
Okay.
Well, I would say, you know, like you can easily blow your money so quick. So if I was to play a game, PyGow is pretty fun. The dealers normally try to help you out. You could stretch your money and hang out and have that experience, as opposed to, hey, I'm going to put $100 in a slot machine and then sit there for 5 minutes and watch it disappear. yeah, I would just enjoy more everything else outside of just gambling. Yeah, I understand people are going to come here. It boosts our economy. So I can't say no, don't do it. But I would say try to stretch your money and enjoyment of spending your money and other things, like drinking local craft beer.
Yes. Good plug, Dave.
I like that. Dan, what's a rookie mistake to avoid?
Well, I'm not sure if it's totally in that category, rookie mistake, but I hear from a lot of people that come here that they stop staying on the strip and instead they'll stay in a hotel on Fremont. Uh-huh. You can get better deals down there, and it's not that far. You know, you can still Uber down to the casinos and whatnot. So check out like the El Cortez and stuff like that down on Fremont if you want to save a buck.
Okay. I like that. All right. So with beer in mind again, there's obviously Big Dogs, there's obviously Craft House, there's obviously Silver Stamp, Dan, where you're going to be having your Milk the Funk event on the Tuesday during the Craft Brewers Conference, I believe. Taking those three places out of the equation for just this minute, where would you say is a beer destination in Vegas that everybody should experience before they leave?
I think, you know, we've all touched on it and mentioned it, but yeah. definitely the Arts District, or, you know, it's also called Brewery Row. You can hit six breweries, and then multiple tasting rooms, bars, and restaurants. They're all within walking distance of each other, so you can get dropped off or find parking at one end and then meander all the way through to the other end. And there's cool antique shops. You know, you can get a $10 tattoo if you really want to. There's a should you know, but you could. and then actually we've worked collectively together down in the Arts District. I know everybody thinks that you can have open containers anywhere in Las Vegas, which you cannot. You can only have open containers under the canopy of Fremont East. However, during CBC, the 21st through the 24th, you can walk with your open containers in the Arts District and through and around Main Street.
Oh, man. That's my kind of dangerous fun.
Oh, another rookie move. Don't go so hard. Don't go hard fast. It's a marathon, right? Don't go for barley wines at 11 o'clock in the morning that are like 18%. No, longevity. You got to drink some water. We're in a desert.
Yeah, okay, hydrate. But here, hydrate. Let me devil's advocate on this, right? Because there are going to be brewers and brewing professionals who show up who say, like, they're ready to party, and they can party. I've put it in groups of people that know how to go hard and do it well. It's the Marines. Then it's the accountants.
That's interesting.
And then it's bar staff.
Oh, yeah. Service industry.
Right. And then brewers are somewhere in like the lower part of the top 10. For those of you who are in hospitality and around hospitality all the time, Vegas is a totally different beast, say, from Nashville or Minneapolis or any of these other places that we've gone to. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was rhetorical, but yeah.
Yeah. We're 24 hours. So, yeah.
Yeah. There are similarities with Nashville. I mean, they are called Nash Vegas for a reason. Yeah. People come to celebrate, they come to party, they like to come and have, you know, big groups of people. But yeah, we're definitely a 24-hour town. If you have a vice, you can get it any time of day here.
Mm-hmm. Dangerous. Dan, what's the quintessential beer experience that you hope people do when they're in town and before they leave?
Well, these guys covered the main spots, obviously. I already shouted out 595 Craft Kitchen. That's a true locals beer bar with really good food, and that's worth checking out. But also, the Mob Museum, that's a good spot to go to. That's down in the Fremont area. And
do they serve beer at the Mob Museum?
They do. Do they still make their own beer, Wendy? I can't remember.
Distillery.
They had Tenaya Creek. There was like three handles from Tenaya Creek when I walked it about 4 months ago.
Okay. Yeah. So
they have a speakeasy underground, and you have to do, you know, a special knock and give a code, and you can go drink in the speakeasy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also Neon Museum is really cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I've got one more shout out that is kind of off the beaten track a little bit, and that's the Red Dwarf. That's a tiki bar, a really good tiki bar. It's my favorite one in town, but they also have a really good beer program and really good Detroit style pizza.
Pizza. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
It's fabulous.
David, what's the beer experience you think people should have before they leave your city?
My house? No, I don't.
Everyone's invited.
I'll share your address in the show notes. And and just remember, it's a 24-hour town, so feel free to show up at David's house whenever you want.
No, I would just encourage everyone to go kind of and visit all the other local breweries. There's the areas that, you know, the Arts District and you know, the Booze District too as well. They have a collection of breweries that are there. So yes, it makes it a little more convenient for people to hit up several places. But, you know, I would encourage a lot of people just to go check out breweries like North Fifth, Chicago Brewing Company, you know, Love Lady out there in Mojave. You know, they're off the beaten path, but I think people would be pleasantly surprised to go check out just some of the other local breweries that are in town that are, you know, we're not bunched together. Even Big Dogs Brewing Company, it is a little bit off the beaten path, but like I said, it's going to be very well worth it for people to stop by and see what's going on locally.
I like it. I was skeptical. I'll fully admit, I was skeptical about Vegas when I first heard about it a couple of years ago. But I'm eager now to embrace everything that it has to offer from start to finish. And especially, I mean, six breweries within walking distance. There's not a ton of other major cities that can boast that. So that's a cool accomplishment. So I'm excited about that. And as somebody who likes to take ride shares, I don't have to walk, which is even better.
I can give a plug to ride
please.
Shares. So Nevada Craft Brewers Association, we received grants from City of Henderson, City of North Las Vegas, and City of Las Vegas to offer discount off of your Lyft ride if you're being picked up from Venetian and going out to one of NCBA brewery members, or if you're going back from one of those breweries back to Venetian. So we use geofencing for the pickup and the drop-offs. So if you go to our website, nvbeer.com, those codes are on our website, and it's there to encourage you to go and visit our local breweries.
That's awesome, and something I will absolutely be availing myself of and would encourage everybody.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no, of course. I think that's a really cool thing to be doing. Thanks to all three of you. I'm excited about this.
And, hey, John, can I shout out one more thing for you?
Oh yeah, please.
I posted a thread on the brewery subreddit, a list of all the breweries and a few of the select beer bars and stuff you go on to Reddit and search a Locals Guide to Craft Beer in Las Vegas for CBC 2024, you'll see my list there.
Could I do you one better since you gave me permission to put it up on allaboutbeer.com?
Yes, sir.
Just go to allaboutbeer.com and search Vegas and you'll see Dan's full list there.
Thanks.
Okay.
Right on. See, Dan has, I mean, fun.
Reddit's fine, but you know, it's like allaboutbeer.com is a little closer to home for me. Sorry, Wendy, you were saying?
I said, see, Dan has fun. He visits all those places.
He did all of the great legwork. Yes. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you all in person. And for all of the events, we're going to be putting it up on our website as well and where they can find Wendy, your brewery, David, your brewery, and then mm-hmm. Dan, the event that you're doing in addition to all of the other great information. But thanks for being excited about Vegas for the rest of us. And thanks for sharing why we're all wrong about your city. And I mean that, like I think this is going to be important because there are some of the naysayers out there. So I hope they hear this and either change their attitude in advance or change their plans and get plane tickets and head on out to Vegas.
Yeah. We'd love to host everybody and show them how we do it in Vegas.
Awesome. 24 hours. Just come prepared. Thanks to the three of you, Wendy, David, Dan, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for having us, John.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Okay, don't forget, go to allaboutbeer.com. You can read Dan's list of recommendations. And if you're in town, I hope to see you at that Milk the Funk event at Silver Stamp. Immediately beforehand, you should join M. Souter of Pints and Panels and the All About Beer podcast as she does a pop-up shop of her prints and merch that happens on Monday, April 22nd from 5 to 8 p.m. All times are local. Also, thanks to the companies that support our work and who will also be at the Craft Brewers Conference. Visit the Wonkas of Tea Beer at booth 2390. First Tea has teas and botanicals to create new colors, flavors, and textures to craft beer and hard teas. First Tea even has beer and cocktail recipes with popping boba. Step into pure imagination at booth 2390 at the Vegas CBC or email them at info@firsttea.com. That's FIRSDTEA.com. And Malt Europe Malting Company is North American proud with premium grains from field to flavor. Their selections include base, specialty, and distiller malt varieties. Stop by their booth number 2143 at the Craft Brewers Conference in Vegas. If you ever need to reach me, it's pretty easy. You can email. It's John Hall, that's J-O-H-N-H-O-L-L, at All About Beer. Get in touch with questions, comments, guest suggestions, or anything else. A reminder, go visit allaboutbeer.com. You can also check out our podcast page when you're there, the merch page. Read great new content, as well as our archives going back to 1979. And don't forget, you can follow All About Beer on social media, at All About Beer. If you're interested in supporting journalism in the beer space, email us at info@allaboutbeer.com or go to patreon.com/allaboutbeer. Don't forget about the All About Beer podcast channel. Search and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Steal This Beer has new episodes every Monday, and the BYO Nano podcast comes out on the 15th of every month. And check out probrewer.com each week for original articles from the All About Beer team. As for this show, Nate Schweber does the music, Jeff Quinn designed our logo, and I'm John Hall. New episodes release every Wednesday, and that's when I'll be back again to drink beer and to think about it.